You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere. This is your WLCX Daily News Roundup for the Eagle 1490 AM in La Crosse.
Here's today's 1490 WLCX news update. You can find it on demand at lacrosseeagle.com. I'm Jimmy Cuska. The spring election race for mayor of La Crosse is set. Community organizer and volunteer Shondell Washington Spivey had the most votes of any of the four candidates for mayor, picking up about 30% of the vote. The second spot of the ballot was decided by only 45 votes, with City Council President Chris Kahlo advancing over Vicky Markison. Markison lost the 2021 mayor's race by 205 votes to Mitch Reynolds, who is not seeking re-election. Ellie McLoon, who works in real estate, finished in fourth with 16% of the vote. The La Crosse School Board field of candidates for the spring election is set. Six candidates will compete for three spots on the school board: incumbent Meredith Garcia, Joy Buckman, Molly Fuchs, Adam Hoffer, Kevin Hunt, and Jeff Jackson. A seventh candidate, Sam Morris, posted last week that he was no longer seeking public office due to online harassment and encouraged voters to pick from the other six candidates. Two current board members, President Juan Jimenez and Katie Birkdahl, are not seeking re-election. There were a couple of other primaries in the Cooley region on Tuesday. For La Crosse City Council District 7, incumbent Matt Keel picked up 36% of the vote to advance to the spring election, where they'll face challenger Gary Podesky, who had nearly half of the vote in the primary. In Toma, four candidates, Katie Rice, Heidi Hammes, Daniel Kriego, and James Newland, will compete for two seats on the Toma School Board. Toma voters rejected a November referendum that would have built a new high school and consolidated other buildings. Voter turnout in La Crosse County was 13.46%, with some La Crosse City wards reporting turnout over 30%. The primary for state superintendent was Tuesday, with Jill Underley seeking re-election to the post this spring. She advanced with 38% of the vote, while Brittany Kinzer picked up nearly 35% to advance as well. Underley, who is backed by Democrats, will face Kinzer, who is supported by Republicans, in the officially nonpartisan election this spring. In Kinzer's post-primary statement, she reached out to voters for Jeff Wright, who finished with about 27% of the vote for support in the spring election. After two failed operational referendums last year, including one that failed by a little over 1% of the vote, Mauston School District officials said that if they couldn't get a referendum passed this spring, the district would run out of money after the 2026-2027 school year and have to dissolve into neighboring districts. On Tuesday, district voters overwhelmingly approved a four-year, $7 million ballot measure by a 2-to-1 margin. Mauston District officials said they will canvass votes on Thursday. Governor Tony Evers delivered his budget proposal to the state legislature Tuesday night. Evers proposed investments in childcare, education, and lowering medication costs, as well as a freeze on property tax increases and eliminating taxes on tipped wages.
Wisconsinites need a leg up to be able to finally get ahead on utility bills, on child care costs, on groceries, medication, and doctor visits, and everything in between.
Republicans said they will create their own budget, with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss calling Evers' proposal dead on arrival. After a record-setting year for school referendums in 2024, there were only five on the ballot in Tuesday's primary. Voters in the districts of Mauston, Waterford Union, Tomahawk, and Northland Pines easily passed referendums. Mauston, facing possible dissolution if its referendum failed, saw its $7 million plan pass by a 2-to-1 margin. However, Kenosha voters rejected a five-year, $115 million proposal. 89 school referendums are on the April 1st spring election ballot across the state. On Monday, the city's Aviation Commission met to discuss adding flight options to the La Crosse Regional Airport. Three airlines have shown interest in La Crosse: Delta, Sun Country, and Allegiant. Delta left the airport in the summer of 2023 due to a lack of workers. Right now, only American Airlines flies out of La Crosse. Last month, the La Crosse County Board approved a resolution to contribute to the airport's plans to add a second airline. The revenue guarantee fund is expected to be about $1.5 million. The Cooley region is due for a warm-up. Highs today will stay in the single digits, with one more chilly night on tap. Then, tomorrow, the warm-up begins, as we'll have highs in the 20s until the weekend, when we'll get above freezing. Highs will climb into the mid-40s, with a few places just south of La Crosse expected to reach 50 degrees. There's also little or no precipitation in the forecast through the middle of next week. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. We'll have a look at your weather, sports, and entertainment news coming up next. For 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Wisconsin beats Illinois. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers finally get a win over Illinois, 95-74. That ended a 9-game losing streak for the Badgers against the Fighting Illini. Head coach Greg Gard asked, did his players do a better job at getting rebounds, especially in the first half?
We did. You know, we tried. There was a few got away from us. Obviously, the ball bounces funny sometimes. You know, when we didn't get them, there was a group accountability that they were pretty astute in talking about what we needed to get cleaned up.
In Milwaukee, Marquette dominated Seton Hall 80-56. Cam Jones with 14 points. Chase Ross added 11. Baseball, Brewers outfielder Blake Perkins on being named a Gold Glove finalist for his performance last season.
Very grateful seeing the support from like my teammates, from the staff, recognition from my peers around the league is very cool, and it's humbling and very grateful.
That's the Brewers' Blake Perkins with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The hips don't lie, and neither does the torso. Shakira had to cancel a show in Lima, Peru last weekend after she found herself in the emergency room. The singer announced to her 91 million Twitter followers she had an abdominal issue and was not well enough to perform. According to The Hollywood Reporter, she rescheduled the show for Monday, February 17th, and is back at it. Glad it was nothing serious. Could have just been Taco Bell. The Blake Lively, Ryan Reynolds, Justin Baldoni drama is in the middle of court filings and subpoenas. During a recent appearance on CBS This Morning, Brendan Sklenar, who shared the big screen with Lively and Baldoni on In It Ends With Us, which is where all the controversy took place, was asked by Gayle King who he is siding with, Team Justin or Team Blake. Sklenar diplomatically answered that he is with Team It Ends With Us. Sklenar was on the show to promote the upcoming second season of Taylor Sheridan's 1923. Closer to home, he starred in Green and Gold, which was shot in Door County and is still in theaters. Guy Pearce says Kevin Spacey made him feel uncomfortable while shooting LA Confidential. Pearce told The Hollywood Reporter the disgraced Spacey targeted him for months on the set back in 1997. The Oscar-nominated Pearce said he was not actually assaulted, but kept brushing off the advances, which was difficult to do because at the time, Spacey was quite powerful and very aggressive. Pearce said when he heard the reports that other actors came forward accusing Spacey of sexual assault, he broke down and sobbed. Pearce is nominated for Best Supporting Actor this year for his role in The Brutalist. And here's something that will make you feel old news, The Breakfast Club just turned 40 this past weekend. The John Hughes film was written in 1982 and put the famous writer-director on the map. The film's initial budget was $1 million and originally was going to be shot independently in Chicago. The Breakfast Club went on to gross $50 million after finally being released in 1985 and became a classic. The SNL 50th anniversary episode Sunday night was a ratings winner for NBC. The broadcast drew almost 15 million viewers between network TV and Peacock. Deadline.com reports that the network says it was their most watched primetime entertainment since the 2020 Golden Globe Awards. Even the red carpet show that aired an hour before the broadcast drew over 6 million viewers between NBC, Peacock, and E! Entertainment. Speaking of SNL, the event was one of the most star-studded specials in recent memory. But there were some notable no-shows, including Dan Aykroyd, Bill Hader, and Dana Carvey. With Aykroyd, his agent told the show's producers months ago he would not be attending. The actor did post on social media praising the show. Bill Hader sent his invitation with a decline and no further details, and Dana Carvey has not even mentioned the show on any social media platforms. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Keeping it bitterly cold for one more day, partly sunny, a high of only 5 above, wind chill values as low as 28 below, especially in the morning. For tonight, mostly cloudy with a low near negative 6, a little warmer Thursday, sunny skies, and a high near 17. Right now, 2 below.
That's your WLCX Daily News Roundup from Civic Media. Subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you find your podcasts. Find more news at lacrosseeagle.com. The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.